it's obvious that when these two team up, the result is magical.
This Week in Tennis.
And we brought this dynamic duo together once again.
Welcome to This Week in Tennis.
Taylor Fritz, Craig. Taylor Fritz!
Oh, I was watching that one last night, Phil. Were you?
I wasn't. You know, I was at physical therapy, and I was still rattled from having to hedge all those bets that we had to make because the girls don't play well. I didn't see it. I'm glad you told me about it. I love the ending. And welcome to This Week in Tennis. I'm Phil Nasons. He's Craig Doyle. And we're here today to talk a little French Open tennis. And I think what we should do is start with the Taylor Fritz match. You know, that's not unexpected. People act like these things are unexpected. That French players playing on Chartrière have an advantage. I would think that would be known. I would think that would be obvious. I would think that that wouldn't need to be pointed out because the players all know, the coaches know, knowledgeable people know, but all these touts going crazy. Craig, explain this for these folks, will you?
I think there's just generally not a lot going on at the minute. First couple of rounds, we don't have Nadal, we don't have Federer anymore. There's not a lot of news going on, so you get this match where, and you get this in every slam. I mean, this is not just at Wimbledon. You'll see this at the Australian Open. First couple of rounds, the big two show courts at the venue, the courts with the most seats, the most fans can get in, are going to have home country players. In this case, it's French players are going to be on there. They're not always going to be the top guys, but the crowd's going to get behind them. And there's a lot of French players on the tour, so they've got plenty of options. We've already seen Lucas Pouille on there. We've seen Gaël Monfils on there. They're going to put these players in the marquee matches in the evening slots, put them on for the big crowd, for the TV audience, and the crowd's going to get behind them regardless of who they are. And what we saw last night, I think it was on Suzanne Lenglen court, was the crowd got behind the French player who was playing against Taylor Fritz, and Taylor Fritz was winning, and as pretty much custom that and what we've seen over the first 4 or 5 days of this tournament is that when a French player looks like they're about to be defeated, the crowd is going to start to get really restless and try to unsettle their opponent towards the end of the match. Taylor was 7 for the match. He missed a couple of first serves. The crowd were calling out, cheering the missed first serves, calling out before second serve. They were winding Taylor up a little bit. And what we saw last night was Taylor put his finger to his lips after he won, and the crowd really didn't like it. They were very opposed to his actions. They booed him continually as he was trying to speak in the on-court interview. And a lot of people were making a big deal out of it. It was just a nothing incident, and I'm sure that it's similar to the Medvedev incident at the US Open a couple of years ago where he got himself a little bit of heat with the crowd. But it was all good fun. I think Taylor thought it was good fun. I'm sure people will look back and laugh on it. But I think the overanalysis of it was a little bit of extreme, and I think in a couple of days' time it'll probably have blown over.
Well, let's hope it should. And that's a typical match. You know, it's like Grand Slams are kind of, or a lot like World Cup matches in some cases. The French Open is the worst one, probably. The U.S. Open, they do some heckling there too, but they're pretty liberal in their heckling because they'll give it to both players, you know, the American and the other guy. But in France, just the way it is. I'm glad you brought up Gaël Monfils. Great call on that. Craig sent me this text. He goes, I'm really thinking about this. I was going to jump on it. I'm at physical therapy and forgot. So I end up catching it at plus 175. That was a great call. But that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Now, I saw a tout just the other day. Baez played terrible. No, he didn't. He got beat by the crowd. That was easy to see. Before the match, Baez is a sensitive kid. They ripped him to they ripped him to shreds. They were shredding him on the court, those fans. That was a tough atmosphere for anyone. And Gael Monfils, you know, you're forgetting something. And I want you to remember this, you touts out there, before you start analyzing matches. Gael Monfils is a legend in France. He may have not won a major, but probably a lot more to do with his personality than anything else. He's a carefree, loose kid, great entertainer, sweetheart of a kid, love him to death. And I was so happy that he knocked him off. And like he said, my daughter has not seen me win a match because he hasn't won a match in 9 months. We pointed it out last week. But he came through. That was a great call, and I enjoyed that.
That was one of what was relatively slim pickings in the first couple of rounds. There weren't too many places where the money was good and the player actually won.
I scalped a few this week.
You got a couple, yeah. You were playing some more complex bets earlier. I saw you playing the over in quite a few games. I know you like the over on these clay court events.
Mm-hmm. I do. I used to, Craig, but I don't think I do now. You know, that's another thing. They're talking about a match that's being played later today. Now, we're recording this, and it'll be published probably while the early matches are going on in Paris. But at the end of the day, this has been a great tournament. But the girls, the big argument tonight for tonight's match on Friday is Carlos Alcaraz is playing a match against, who is he playing? He's playing for the kid from Canada, right?
Shapovalov.
Yeah, Shapovalov. Sometimes I forget he's even in the draw, but unless he's running his mouth, and we understand that quite well. But and there's a lot of gripe because through the first five nights, Craig, they haven't played a WTA match on Philippe Chartier court. Or Philippe Chartier, whatever you want to call it. And I think we can probably explain that for them. Do you want me to do it or shall you?
I figure you're going to go in a little bit harder on this one and put a few more facts in than maybe I would. But why don't you take us away and I'll join in later.
Oh, yeah, because you want... Okay, that's fine. I don't mind. I'm retired now completely, so it doesn't matter. This is an economic decision. They play one match at the French Open under the lights, just one. And I don't know how much people pay attention to these things, but you see a lot of lopsided, quick tennis matches on the WTA Tour, whether it's a Grand Slam, whatever. I mean, how do you play a Grand Slam tennis match? Best of three sets. The match goes three sets and they barely get 22 games, with 18 games being the minimum. That's why they're not out there. They're not a draw. I hate to say this. I've coached the ladies for a long, long time. And you know the biggest issue is getting people to watch. It wasn't so much the case a few years back when you had a little more parity where when you showed up and paid your ticket price, you thought you were going to get some value. You're not going to get much on the WTA Tour. If you look at their tournaments, even their 250s, 500s, whatever, and when they are away from the men or when there's not a combined event, those seats, even for the final, they're rarely filled. And these are very small venues. This is a business, and they have national TV sponsors. And those TV people don't want to put a women's match on there if it's the only match of the day. Now, if it's two matches, they might do that, like they do at the U.S. Open because it's two. But I promise you, if they played under the lights and only played one match on Arthur Ashe Stadium, it would never be a WTA match unless it was Serena Williams.
I think you're absolutely right. And the key here is that it's one match on one court. It's not like they're playing... two matches in a single session on the one court or two matches, one on each court. In this case, there is one evening match dedicated. It's something that the French Open have only really introduced over the last couple of years. They're still trying to figure out how best to do it. But in terms of the economics of the situation, the tickets for this French Open are so well in advance. These tickets have gone on sale months and months in advance. So they have a pricing structure for these tickets, and these evening sessions are priced at a certain amount. You're paying for the best of five sets match, which is pretty much why they have to put a men's match on, because they've got this time slot they've got to fill on TV. They've got a ticket price out there. If you're only getting three sets, which you might only get three sets in a men's match, but more than likely on a clay court, you're probably going to get more than three sets. They want to give you the best value they can for what is a very expensive ticket. To see one match of tennis, the price of a ticket to these sessions is expensive compared to the day session tickets, where you're going to see three matches of tennis. It's simple economics. And if they put on a men's match the first day, let's say they put on Novak Djokovic first day evening session, and then in the second day in the evening session, you've paid the same price for the ticket, and you see, let's say, Iga Swiatek, for example, the top women's player, you're going to get less tennis for the same price. And that's an awkward place to be, especially given the price of some of these premium tickets that they sell on that court. You've got to give people the maximum value for their money. Now, that's not to say that there might not be a women's match at some point on the evening session at the French Open. There may be a marquee match that stands out in the draw. We may see a former champion who is now unseeded up against one of the top seeds. Maybe you could have a French player up against a former champion, something like that. And they know that the crowd, the Parisian French crowd, would be quite happy to see that match as opposed to a men's match, then that situation could appear. But with Caroline Garcia dropping out of the draw early on, having lost in the first round, I think the chances of that are pretty unlikely. I think they really are going to be sticking with the men's match most of the way through, because it presents the best value for their paying customers, and they don't want to upset the customers, particularly the corporate customers who will have paid huge amounts of money for those courtside tickets. It's a big risk to upset the customer to future your business.
100% spot on. It's an economic thing, and plus, let's face it, these WTA matches, they're tough to watch, tough to take. You know, when you're watching love one love matches, what's up with that? Come on, are they? Never mind. You know what? I'm over the WTA tour completely. I still watch some of my former students play. I love to do that. But that's it. No, I'm not going to bet. And also, you know what? I've been getting a lot of notes in my inbox. Where's your picks? The same place they've been for the last year and a half, at BetStamp. If you follow me on Twitter, you will find a link tree. Inside that link tree is a link to BetStamp. That's where you're going to find my picks. I make them about 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right before the start of the matches. I don't usually bet them early. I do that for a lot of reasons, none of which I'm going to disclose on this podcast. But we have a fantastic, fantastic event going on, Craig. Growing up, I never cared for the French, you know, because we never played on dirt in the States. But I swear to you, this has been a fantastic tournament. I've enjoyed it. Fox Sports is covering it a little bit. There's so many different venues covering it. But let's get right at it. We're probably not going to give you any picks here. And I don't have anything for Friday because, you know, I'm working and I'm doing therapy. And during this time is when I would be making my picks and busting Craig's whatever to figure out what we're going to do. Alcaraz, Shapovalov. That should be an interesting match because it's quite a contrast there. You got the lefty taking on Alcaraz. Is Alcaraz the favorite? Is he going to win? He is still plus money. I believe you can get Carlos Alcaraz to win the French Open for $1.40. What do you think about this match, Craig? Is this going to be the one that we're going to say at the end of this tournament, this was the one I'm glad I watched?
No, but I don't like to write Denis Shapovalov off, but he's one of those players, he's very streaky. He could go through, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 games where he looks unplayable, and then his level just drops entirely. He's got some ability there. He's not a bad tennis player. He's a better hard court player than a clay court player, that's for sure. But I just don't see him being able to consistently pester Alcaraz over a best of five sets format. He could win a set. He's absolutely capable of doing that. He could go out there and blitz Alcaraz for maybe an hour or so, but his level will drop. And when his level drops, he'll get picked off. And that's when you look at the price he's being offered. Alcaraz is a massive favorite to win this match.
He's a massive favorite to win this tournament. Well, not massive, I guess. Djokovic is 2-1. That's a pretty good price for Djokovic. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Joker, but that's still a tough top half. Wow. But this match with Alcaraz, I like Alcaraz a lot. I love his enthusiasm. I love the fact that he goes Mach 10 every single ball. I love it. He's so quick. He's a bigger hitting version of his coach and probably a faster version of Michael Chang. And I thought Michael was the fastest I'd ever seen. Prior to that, it was Johan Krejc, our old friend. I don't know. I think probably four sets. I don't know. I haven't seen much of Alcaraz this event. He seems to be playing when I'm doing my Achilles shuffle, as I like to fondly put it. So we don't know. But the match, I'll tell you the match I'm looking forward to, is Musetti against Cam Norrie, your guy Cam Norrie. Now, we picked on him a couple weeks ago. Again, you can track all that at BetStamp and see. I don't usually play favorites in tennis. I usually play underdogs. Musetti, Norrie. I think Norrie's a dog in this match. What do you like about Norrie and Musetti? Is this a match? I think this will be better than the Alcaraz dog Shapovalov match.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's like three places between them in the seeding. I think Norrie's 14 and Musetti's 17. Mm-hmm. But you got to be cautious here because Musetti, the Italian, he's grown up playing on this surface. This is home for him, whereas Norrie, a lot of his time was spent on the U.S. college circuit. They're not playing on the red dirt as often over there. he's adapted his game, not too bad to it, but he's won a clay court title this year. He's actually beaten Alcaraz in a final over in South America, so he's no stranger to success here. But it's a really tough match, and I think there's a big upside in Italian tennis at the minute. There's quite a lot of good players coming through. Musetti maybe isn't the one that comes to everyone's mind when you think of a young Italian tennis player, but this guy's 21. He's relatively new on the circuit. He's starting to develop that win-loss record. He's sort of, I think he's 73 wins, 66 losses, but he's starting to sort of change that. More wins going in that win column. He's not the biggest guy out there, but he plays a really good clay court game. And if you could get a good price on Musetti, I think I'd probably back him here to take Norrie out.
It's like a $180. He's the favorite at a $180. That's -180 on your board. Norrie? $169, dog. No, we got to leave him be. Musetti's got a cannon, by the way. When he lets go of that forehand, especially from about 8 to 10 feet behind the baseline, that sound, that's how you know. It's like when I picked against Dominic Thiem at the beginning of the week. And I'm watching all these so-called knowledgeable tennis people fawning over Dominic. And I love Dominic. You know, he's 8th on the prize money list of all time, somewhere in there. 8, 10, somewhere in there. He's done a lot. But look, we've been telling you for 2 years, he ain't hitting the same ball. You know what? That was easy pickings. I just love this Musetti. He's got a cannon. You know, one thing that you might want to look at is the game spread. Now, it's a 3.5 game spread. I don't know what Cam Norrie's plans are for the next week, but I would be hesitant to even spot him the 3.5 games because Musetti's the real thing. That's not to say Norrie isn't. I still think Norrie's got some lingering issues with his hip. Remember, we talked about this before privately when you pointed that out to me. Hey, go look. What do you think? And we scalped that monster dog. We'll see. I like him, though. I love Musetti, man. Boom. He should win this thing in straight sets, Craig. I don't think Norrie's going to get one past. I don't even think he's going to get one. But the next one I wanted to ask you about, Craig. Look at this. Now, here's another one. Fabio Fognini is taking on Offner. Now, Fognini's on our Do Not playlist. He's right there with your man over there in France. But Fognini, Offner. I think Fognini's a huge favorite, but I wouldn't play it only because you just never know which Fognini is going to show up, Craig.
Well, if he plays anything like he's been playing recently, he should win. I mean, Offner's a bit of a journeyman. He's sort of in his late 20s. He's outside the top 100. He's not going to be somebody who's going to rise up into the top 20 and a name that we're going to talk about on a regular basis. He had a good win 2 days ago against Korda.
Yes,
I can remember that. Yeah, he did take out Korda.
Second round win. Whip.
But if the Fognini who we've seen, and Fognini's in his mid to late 30s now, if we get that Fognini who we've seen play on the clay hundreds of times over the years, then he should have a relatively comfortable time with Offner here. Again, like, should be a relatively big favorite, but I'm not going to play him because he's burned me enough times. But I think, yes, I think he's likely to make it through to the fourth round here.
He's a $138 favorite. Offner took out Korda in straight sets. That was a pretty good win for him. I watched that match. I thought Korda would go through on that one, but you know, that's tennis. I didn't bet that. Again, go to BetStamp. You'll see what we've done throughout this fortnight so far, and you'll see that we've done quite well. I think I at one point I was 10-1, something like that. I know I was 6-0 Wednesday, I believe, and that was pretty good. I enjoyed that. Fognini, maybe Flavia kick him in the pants. Maybe that's what's happened. Maybe she's saying, you know, I'm tired of being the only one here who lifted a major. Another unlikely hero. But that's good. Fognini probably gets it. I don't know. I might look at that live, Craig. It's on, I guess, around 7:30 Eastern, so probably about 8:30, considering it's not the first match over there. So we'll see. But I would probably look to get that live. And if Offner gets a set, maybe you get Fognini at a better price, and maybe he'll come through. But I can't play him. I can't. I could sit and hang out, you know, but that's about it. Schwartzman, Tsitsipas. Now, that one is an interesting, you know, Tsitsipas has a horrific draw, but he's kind of come through a bit. You know, he's had his things. He's played well. He's got all kinds of controversy in his camp, which is not a new thing. But he's an overwhelming favorite against Schwartzman. I don't even think this is his best surface, Tsitsipas, anyway. Maybe record-wise, but I think he's a better hardcourt player if he really, because that's what he's always been on. That's what he started. Does Schwartzman have a puncher's chance in this one?
No. The reason I say that is the last time I can recall Schwartzman winning more than two matches in a row was at the Open last year, where he lost to Tiafoe in the third round. I think since then he's just had a horrific run of form where he's either lost in the first round or he's won a match and been dropped out. So this is the first time where he's actually won two matches at an event since the Open last year. I just don't see where he goes and gets another win. We go back a couple of years ago on the clay, I would have probably said that, I would have said Schwartzman probably get a set, maybe two here. Then he does have a chance of winning, but he looks like he's really struggling. He's been struggling for form for Well, pretty much since the Open last year, he's really struggled for form. I think he's a player on the way down. His ranking reflects that. He's just sitting inside the top 100 at the minute. I just don't see how he troubles someone like Tsitsipas, who's had plenty of joy here over the past few years.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I think it'll go four sets. I think Diego gets one. Diego's going to be, he's going to enjoy a huge jump, Greg, in the ranking. This is the third round of a major. You know, these points are for real. Yeah, I'm leaving that one alone too. Now, this one here is interesting for me. I've made no bones about it. I think Djokovic is going to win this tournament. But this isn't the match I wanted him to see in the third round. He's taking on Davidovich Fokina. Djokovic, Fokina. Obviously, Joker's the favorite. He looks okay, right? Joker looks okay. He's a 725 favorite. I think this Davidovich Fokina could give him a run. And spotting him 7.5 games might be too many. This is a real clay court player here.
Yeah, you're talking. We're getting into seeded guys who come from Spain, Italy, Argentina, etc. You're looking at clay court guys, clay court specialists. So he'll have a little bit more confidence on this surface than he would do if he was playing Djokovic on a hard court. I think like Djokovic has been playing well so far. But this is probably going to be the first real test of how well he's actually playing. He's going to see the ball coming back a little bit more often. It's going to be a lot more difficult than his early round matches. If he gets through this one, he's probably got quite a comfortable one in the next round. But this is going to be his early round test for the first week. I think it'll be interesting to see how well he dispatches Fokina. If it's in three sets, then I think Djokovic is probably a lock to win the tournament. If he struggles here and this goes to five sets, then I'm not fancying Djokovic to win the tournament. I think someone like Alcaraz will cause him too many problems.
And he has a bigger problem in front of him with Tsitsipas too. I mean, that's a horrific draw over there. The top half is horrible, and Francis Tiafoe might end up in the finals of the French Open.
Yeah, well, let's not put the cart before the horse.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is that bottom half is so wide open. Man, I've always been of the school, and this goes back four decades now, where I love the clay court guys. You know, this is a great chance for him because, you know, Davidovich Fokina, he doesn't really, he's very aggressive. But more importantly, he's experienced. He's not going to be afraid of Novak Djokovic on the dirt. He's not going to be afraid of a guy who beat Nadal twice on the dirt. No, he's not at all. And you know, the funny thing is that Novak has probably lost a lot of respect in the locker room over the last couple of months with some of his statements he's made and things he's said and done. This would be a great spot for this. 32.5 games, Craig. That's three sets. That's what they're expecting. That's 4-4-4. That's 30 games. That's what they're roughly expecting. But what if that first set goes in a tiebreaker? They're going to get over that thing. I think they go over 32.5 in this one, Craig. I think if this goes four sets, it's an easy over.
Yeah, I don't see Fokina getting wiped out in any set, like 6-1 or whatever. I'd be really surprised if he did.
I would be more than surprised, but that's probably where I would lean. I have a few hours yet before I have to make that pick if I'm going to, but that's what I would go with. Hurkacz, he's banging away, and he's playing against Varias. I believe Varias is from Chile, correct? Hurkacz has played pretty good. I like him. He has a consistent game. It's not a flashy game. It probably lends itself well to the dirt, I suppose. But he's up against a real clay court player, you know, and who just took out Bautista Agut in five sets. And he whacked him the last three. Now, I think Bautista Agut was injured, but you still have to finish the damn match. You know, it's hard. You know, they always say, beware of the injured tennis player. And Varias came through, But does he take a? Does he have a shot against Hurkacz?
So he's Peruvian, which is, you know, alongside Chile there in South America. So
yeah, I'm American. You see, my geography is shit.
I'm absolutely a clay court specialist. We don't see too many Peruvian players on the tour, actually. So quite interesting. Can he take out Hurkacz? I think so. I think Hurkacz is much better suited to grass or to hard courts. We've probably seen that down the years. He had a bit of a battle last match just to get himself to this stage. Five sets, the same as Varias. So I think Varias has every chance of reproducing what he did against Batista Agut and potentially seeing himself into the fourth round.
222 underdog. Hurkacz is a 240 favorite.
You see, what they've done there is they've looked at the rankings and they've said, well, you've got a guy who's seeded 13 against a guy who's just inside the top 100.
Sure did.
This is where you don't want to be playing Hurkacz. It's not his surface. You've seen that in the previous round, that he had difficulties getting through that previous round. It's not a good price to play him. If you're going to play, you've got to play against him. I mean, Hurkacz has played two matches here. He played Goffin in the first round, five sets. He played, I can't remember who he played second round, but that was five sets.
He played Griekspoor.
There you go. That was five sets as well. So he's played 10 sets in two matches. This is going to probably go five sets. And I could see Hurkacz running out of gas here.
And Varias has also played five sets 2 days in a row. It doesn't matter. This is what they live for. This is what clay courters live for. You know, when you're around a real clay court player, you know what the first thing they usually do? They point to their calf muscles. Because a clay court guy, he's out there grinding all day on that dirt. They usually have pretty good calf muscles. I just locked in Varias on the money line at 222 at Pinnacle. I think that's a good play. That's the one I've been thinking of, Craig. Remember I was telling you I got one for today? I just wasn't sure. Just listening to you is the one. Now, Kakanoff and Kokkinakis are playing right now, so let's not even bother. Sonega and Rublev. That should be a fantastic match. I like Rublev. He's a good kid. He wears his heart on his sleeves. You know, these Russian kids have really taken a beating. He's a 306 favorite. 275 for Sonega. And Sonega's another one who's a clay court player.
Is Rublev the new David Ferrer?
Yep.
He's going to be the guy who's going to be in and around the top 10, but he's not really going to be your favorite to win anything, is he?
Nope. Well, he's a favorite always. He's always on the board, no matter what. He's always going to be in play. But, you know, there are times, and he's been around a while now, but there are times when he just has those little slips. You know, that happens. Tennis is a hard sport. It's hard to focus for so many hours like they have to. Think about this. Could you imagine going to work and having to work and focus at a high level with people screaming and booing at you for five straight hours? I don't think you could do it. That's what makes him Superman. But Sonega, you know, I want to hit that 275 dog over at Bet99, bro. I mean, I really do.
I think I would probably play it as well. I mean, Rublev's really steady. He's just not spectacular, which is the problem I have with him. He looks like the kind of guy who probably get to the quarterfinal if he wins this one. But he's not going to win Roland Garros the same way he's not going to win the Open, or he's not going to win Wimbledon. He'll maybe get to a quarterfinal or semifinal, but I just, there's a lot to like about Sonego here.
There is. You know what? I think I'm going to lock that one in also, Craig.
Big play.
That's what we do, Craig. We make big plays. But at the end of the day, I just, you know, I hate to bet against Rublev, but what are you going to do? I'm sorry, I had this little beep from work. Let me see, who else, where are we at? I'm sorry, I had to take care of that. This one here is an interesting one, too. Holger Rune. He's taking on Oliveri. Oliveri? He hasn't really beaten anybody in this one. Rune, he got a walkover against Monfils. It took him 4 sets to beat Christopher Eubanks. Who do you like in this one, Rune or Oliveri? Now, Oliveri is another one. He's a clay quarter. He's a tough hitter. And you know, this one here is not too bad, I don't think, as far as price goes. Let me see. Where is he? Anyway, what do you think about this match while I find the price?
I'm not even bothering with this match. I'm pretty confident Rune's going to win. He's really good on the clay. This is his thing. He's been playing well on the clay, so I just don't really see him being taken out this early. He's going to be there middle of next week.
I think you might be right. Now the matches are over to Saturday. We have Saturday matches here. I'm waiting for the board to come up. Okay, so we've got Casper Ruud taking on Xinzhang Zhang. Say that one real fast, Craig. Zhang is a monster underdog here, like 550. Ruud has been playing, like we talked about last week, he seems to have found his stride again.
Yeah, again, like it's a similar situation to Holger Rune. I just think Ruud's going to have too much for Zhang, way too much. I watched the game the other day. He was playing some Italian kid, and despite the fact that some of the rallies were close and the kid was winning points, you never ever felt that Ruud was out of control of the match. He eventually cost me money by losing the third set and then winning the fourth. But he looks really good. He looks like he's here for a while. Be interesting in a few rounds' time when he starts to play against the tougher players. But I think just looking at the draw, it looks quite nice for him up until the quarterfinals.
No, it sure does. I think Zhang is a fighter, but this isn't his surface. 33.5 games, they're expecting 3 straight sets. And why weren't they? You know, Ruud is the defending finalist from last year. Yeah, I think you got to almost walk away from that one. That's a tough one. But you got Marcus Guerin against Nicholas Jarry. Jarry's almost a 3-1 favorite over Guerin. That seems to me like a lot. I'll be honest. That seems like a lot. You know, Jarry took out Tommy Paul, which was, you know what? Tommy didn't play well. I watched that one. And before that, he took on Deleon, or took out him in straight sets. Guerin, he just smashed Laheka in straight sets, and then he went to the mat with Struff in 5. You know, Guerin has played at a much, or I'm sorry, Guerin played Mihaljevic. Guerin has played well, though. And so has, but Jarry, I think Jarry is probably, I think people are a little shaded by the Tommy Paul results. I don't know. But I think Guerin could take him out.
Yeah, this one's quite interesting, isn't it? There's maybe a play here on Marcus Guerin.
I'm not going to do it until tomorrow if I do it at all, though.
Yeah, well, this one's not playing until Saturday, so there's time to have a look yet. But he's played well. He played well in his last match. I was impressed, actually, with his second round match against Laheka. I think this will be on my list of interests for Saturday. I think I might have a look at this one if I'm not seeing anything else where I could pick a dog.
Here, I'll tell you, the one I'm going to look forward to is TFO Zverev. Alexander Zverev could actually win this tournament. He's sitting in a great spot. He's playing better. He's under the radar, you see. He's got all that garbage behind him, you know, where, by the way, nothing happened based on all those accusations. I want to make that clear once again. Nothing. Nothing. The only reason anyone entertained it is because she is a part of the family, the tennis family. That's the only reason it was entertained. And it was gone as quickly, or it took a long time to get rid of, but it was over from day one. So good for him. TFO, Zverev. I don't like TFO on dirt. What do you think about this match? Because Zverev can go either way sometimes.
Yeah, I don't like TFO on tennis courts, so I'll be back in Zverev.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's continue. Let me see what we got next here. Hold
on. He's just cost me too many times when I back TFO.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's horrible. Now, listen to this one. Grigor Dimitrov is a 250 favorite over Daniel Altmaier, who's a unreal some of these odds. Plus, it's a 225 dog, plus 225 on your board. What in the world? How is it possible that that could be? Dimitrov looks like he got hurt the other day, by the way.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because Altmaier's he's played very well. That match against Jannik Sinner, where he came through in the final set, the fifth set, was probably one of the best matches we've seen so far. A lot of people won't really have been paying too much attention to who Altmaier is. He's not really ranked up there in the top 50. He's a young guy from Germany. He's playing some good stuff. He surprised me with that win over Sinner. I had Sinner to do a lot better here. This is another test for him because Dimitrov, he looked like he maybe picked up an injury the other day. We don't know that, but he's won both of his matches in straight sets thus far. It's interesting to see him playing so well because he's in his early 30s now. He's never really delivered on that career that people maybe expected from him. When he first burst onto the scene, he got a lot of attention because he played a very nice style of tennis and he was winning quite a lot of big matches. And there was a feeling it was a matter of time until he won a Grand Slam. And it's just not really worked out that way for him. He has these little periods where he looks unplayable again. And maybe that's what he's coming into to hear now at Roland Garros. If he's injury-free, it might be quite interesting to see how far Dimitrov can go.
It could be. Altmaier took out Sinner. To me, Sinner's just a model who can hit a tennis ball. You know, he started to get some fame, and you see more about him doing modeling shoots. You know, these Grand Slams, some of these guys who have these commitments off court, they're pretty busy, pretty distracted. Sinner should have took this kid out. Altmaier played well, you know, held his nerve and his serve and took care of business. Dimitrov, the forehand, that's where it's going to be. You know, if he gets that thing cracking and he can get a few short balls off his serve that he can finish and win service points a little more easily than he has in the past, maybe. I think he's got a good shot at this. But I also think that this could possibly be one of those real close games or close matches. 5.5 game spread here. Altmaier could probably cover that. It will depend really on what court they play on. If it's a big court, he could be in big trouble. That's what I think. Now, this is the one folks are talking about. The woke crowd don't like Diego Seiboth Wild because he's got a domestic abuse issue from way back. And Yoshida Nishioka has got a clay court issue. Who wins that one? Because Wild is a favorite in this at $165. But you can get Nishioka for 1.5 to 1.
It's funny you say that. I think I would probably play Nishioka because he's not a clay court guy. Japan, it's primarily hard courts that they play on growing up. But there's just something about Nishioka that I like. I think this is actually a good matchup for him. How many more matches is Wild going to win? I mean, he's ranked way outside the top 100. He's still a young guy. He's in his early 20s, but this is, he's into uncharted territory here. He's never been this far. He's never looked like he'd get this far in any sort of tournament. Good win over Pella, by the way. And obviously the win over Medvedev, you know, that was something I called a couple of weeks ago on the show, that I really thought Medvedev would struggle here. And I mean, I saw the draw, I changed my mind because the draw was so good that I thought, oh, Medvedev's got a great chance of winning this. But I like Nishioka. I think he's steady. And I think Wild is eventually going to go off the boil. You know, he's played a lot of tennis to get to this stage. Come through the qualifying, he's playing nice stuff. But I just feel that steady wins the race this time. I think Nishioka will take him out. And at the price being offered, I'm really inclined to jump on that. I think there's a lot of value there.
I just punched it in. I got it at $1.50. It already dropped one freaking number while we were talking. Maybe they've got our Skype bugged, Craig.
or maybe somebody's just looking at it and thinking, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not like that difficult. I would think some of those Yahoo touts could get this one right. This one here, this coming up. Now, this is what's going to probably cause a lot of people to stumble, and we're going to help you not stumble today. Echeverry is taking out Coric. Coric is $1.19 dog. Echeverry is $1.22, -122 on your board. They're expecting five sets, Craig. It's 38.5 game spread. The under is 39.5. That's a lot of juice on the under at $1.21 at Bet99. What do you think, man? I think this is the time for Echeverry to say goodnight.
Yeah. I mean, Coric's, he's a bit hit or miss, isn't he? He could be really, really good, or he could be downright awful, which is, you got to try and land on the days where he comes out and plays. Echeverry's got quite a big upside, hasn't he? He's another quite young guy. The difference here is experience for me. Echeverry at tour level, I don't think this guy's probably played 50 matches yet. 23 years old. If he's played 50 matches, I'd be surprised. I mean, he's ranked just inside the top 50, but I'm pretty sure he's got a losing record overall. He's never won a title. He's probably not played even 50 matches on the tour. And he's up against a guy who has probably played 350, 400 matches, got a winning record on the tour, a little bit older, a little bit more experienced. I like that with Coric. I just think, like, he's got himself into the top 20. We've seen days where he can be spectacular. There's days where you can't play against this guy. He's that good. I just wonder if this is going to be the time for Coric to lay down a marker. The draw is kind of opening up in that section without the likes of Medvedev. So there's an opportunity for Coric here to get himself into the second week. It's, as you say, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a pretty long match, but I like Coric here. I don't just like Coric here. I quite like Coric to actually be here, probably to the quarterfinals.
That's a big shout. I think I'm going to leave it alone. However, I agree with you. I think Coric could win. But then again, you know, you're also dealing with another injured tennis player with injury issues. And that could, he could self-destruct at any point or get hurt at any point. I don't know. I like Tomas. But I also like Borna, too. And I think Borna has a little fight in him. This is his chance to prove something, right? This is his chance to say, you know what? Had I not have gotten hurt, I'd probably be lifting this thing. Or I would have already lifted something heavy like this. We'll see. Fritz. Sarandolo. The touts love the Sarandolo kid. He's $1.20 underdog. And Taylor Fritz is a 133 favorite. Now, I would suspect that this shouldn't be the case. I would think that Sarandolo would be the favorite. Sarandolo is a real clay court player. I think Taylor Fritz just competes well on clay. That's my opinion. I don't think he has the big enough. This is a different test than the one he had last night. This is a much different test. And Sarandolo, if he can hold his nerve, he could win this match.
Yeah, of course, it's a different test. I mean, this is a proper clay court player who's highly ranked on the tour. And you don't, you know, these clay court players, I know there's quite a lot of clay court events this time of the season, but you don't get your singles ranking up to 23 just by being good on the play. On the clay, it means you can play a bit of tennis on the hard courts as well. I mean, the ranking's based on an all-year-round system. So this kid can play. It's going to be difficult for Fritz. Probably what's in Fritz's favour, again, is experience. He's played a lot more matches. In his career, he's a little bit older, played a lot more matches. That's going to go in his favour. I liked the way he did business last night. I really did like how he handled himself, because he was under a lot of pressure from the crowd. They were trying to make it difficult for him. They know that clay court's maybe not best suited to how he plays. But, yeah, I mean, it depends on what price you're getting here. If you're getting... If the prices on the players are close, then I might be more inclined to go with Fritz. If Cerundolo's a bit more of a dog, minus, if you bring me into the 200 range, something like that, maybe 150... I might go Cerundolo, but if it's close, I think I'd probably play Fritz, because I just think his experience will see him through.
That could be. I will have to see. You know, one of the things that I've always remembered is big matches tend to produce duds the next day. You know, Fritz is getting a lot of attention. Even that little plagiarist, you know, got that story wrong about this match too, and he was watching it apparently. I don't know. I'm going to leave that alone. I agree with everything that you said, though. It's all about math. That's what it really boils down to. That's what sports betting is all about, kids. It's about math. It's not about who's winning or losing, because you're only going to win at best probably 55 to 57% of the time. Okay, so you're going to lose. If you're going to lose, it's easier to take a dog. It's all math, kids. If you're paying for juice at minus 130, minus 140, minus 150, I don't care what sport it is, the juice is going to eat you alive and you're going to lose. I watch these touts, Craig, throw out minus 240s, minus 330s, and I say, are you stupid? They're not worth the risk. There is no such thing worth that kind of risk. None. I get it. If you have value, you think it's value and you can afford to risk that, your risk tolerance. I shouldn't have said stupid. I apologize. If your risk tolerance is such like mine is, and my money management system is one stick at a time, one unit at a time, this ain't the match for you.
I can agree with that. Yeah, it's a sensible strategy. And it's definitely, as you say, it's not attractive if that's how you're managing things.
No, it's not, because you can get spanked, especially in tennis. Now, the ladies. There's a couple matches that I was interested in, Craig. Friday, let me see if we can give him something, maybe. I don't think I'm going to play any of these because it's impossible. Kasatkina just beat Peyton Stearns. Big shout out to Peyton Stearns. You're going to remember that name. That young lady can play a little bit, and she did good. She got to the third round of a major. That's pretty good. Which is the one I liked that I wanted to ask you? I can't remember. Oh, see, it's already Pegula is playing Mertens. That should be easy. Oh, here you go. This is the one. This one you could probably take advantage of if you want to. We've got Bijou taking on Muchova, and Bijou is an underdog, $130, and Muchova is a favorite at $139. Now, in all things being fair, Muchova should likely be a higher favorite, but because Bijou is known for, you know, sticking around and play a little clay court tennis, she's kind of a $130 dog. And I don't think that she should be, but that price is not enough for me to make that move. I needed about $160, $170.
Yeah, you're probably right. The price, it's not really favorable for a player here, but it is a good spot. It's definitely a good spot. I don't know if I could be tempted into playing.
There's no chance. You give it to me at $160, $165, and I'll take the dog on this one because I think she wins. But I'm not sure. Also, we've got Sloane Stephens is still alive in this tournament. She plays later today on Friday. She's taking on Putintseva, and Putintseva, now this is where you could get yourself some money here. Putintseva is a $170 dog over Sloane Stephens, who is a $171 favorite. I think Putintseva has the type of game to beat Sloane Stephens. Sloane has burned us so many times over the years. I could not put any money on that. Plus, minus 171 is not for me. I just can't play that. But I'm considering the dog here just for the heck of it with Putintseva.
Yeah, I'm not playing Stephens, as you say. Like, so many times we've gotten burned when she just decides not to turn up. She's obviously, she played some really good stuff last round, winning 2-1. Maybe that's why you're getting that price on Putintseva. Probably worth a look, actually, at that price.
Now, Saturday, there's a couple, too, on the ladies' side. Now, this one could be real interesting, is you've got Trusenko is taking on Andreescu. Andreescu is a $128 favorite. Trusenko is only a $117 dog, Craig. Now, I would think that that would be higher. And that kind of leads me to believe that if you want to make a play on Saturday on the WTA, this Trusenko match might be the one for you, because I don't trust Andreescu.
Does anyone trust Andreescu? Like, when she burst onto the scene and she won the Open, it was kind of a little bit like Raducanu in that everyone thought she was going to be the next big thing. In credit to Andreescu, she had pretty horrific injuries on the back of that, and she's starting to find form, but I think she's really hit or miss. She reminds me a lot of Ostapenko. Obviously, Ostapenko's out already.
She got drilled yesterday.
Former winner here, but another one of those players that when she's playing well, she can look unstoppable. But she doesn't play well consistently enough to back on a regular basis. And I've seen a lot of that in Andreescu. I like what I see, but I don't know. She's not reliable to me. Sorenko's actually, she played well in her second round match. She was playing against American girl Davis. I've said for years that Davis just seems to be there to make the numbers up at the slams, really, if it gets beyond the second round, which has been proven again. But Sorenko, yeah, I think there's money here, I think.
I think there's money in it. I think there's definitely money in it, and I'm probably going to take that too. The last one I wanted to ask you about, we've got Coco Gauff, and we've got Andreeva take, you know, this should be a great game. This should be a great match. This should be popcorn stuff, because Andreeva's only. Now, listen to this. Andreeva is a $118 underdog. Coco's only a 125 favorite. The odds makers do not like Coco. The touts like Coco. But we don't like Coco here. We love Coco here. We don't like betting on Coco. And I'm not touching this one either.
Yeah, this is really risky, because there's not a lot about Andreeva out there. I mean, she's Russian. She's 16 years old, very young. We obviously she's not like broken the top 100 yet. She's only got a handful of games on tour, but it's she really impressed. Was it Alison Risk that she played in the first round?
Who is that?
Andreeva. Was it Risk she played in the first round? She won the first round like 2-1. And she's won the second round like 2-1 as well. And you're like, oh, you know, she's played some really nice stuff. She's come through qualifying as well, by the way. She's pretty much won all her qualifying matches in straight sets quite convincingly as well. So also beating the top-seeded Colombian in qualifying in the final round. So this is why you can't really get a price on this one because she's playing such good tennis. People don't know enough about her to make her a massive dog against golf. I mean, when you're looking at somebody who's 16 years old, who's played a handful of matches on the tour, and is playing against a top 10 player like Gauff. Gauff should be a massive favourite, but the results that Andreeva's put out have got people worried that she might just knock Gauff off quite easily here. And I think, like you said last week, that this surface probably suits Gauff quite well. You don't have to, you can't really hit through the court here. It's very difficult to hit through the court with power. You're going to play a lot of loopy forehands and win points through attrition. So it's difficult to call. I think, like, if they give a good enough price on Andreeva, that probably just give it a go and see how it goes. I don't think she's going to get overawed by the occasion. She's played 5 matches here already this week. So the question will be, do they put this one out on one of the big courts or do they put it on one of the smaller courts?
Well, it will be on one of the bigger courts probably, because the only other matches going on at that time are the Parra-Kochiara match and Haddad May against Alexandrova. So I would think that to be the case. I think Coco is going to have some trouble here. I don't know if she's going to lose, but I think she's going to have trouble because Andreeva, she rocks the ball. And if she can go, if she's smart, and if she's been prepared well, she's going to attack the golf forehand as often as she can. And once that starts to break down, the rest of her game will break down. Whether she has the whatever it takes to do that and accomplish that and win this match, well, that remains to be seen. But I'm definitely going to watch that one. And, yeah, I think this will be on a bigger court, but probably not under the lights. This isn't a match that goes under the lights.
Well, Coco's kind of been on very early in the day as well. I saw she was on Chatrier first match, and she was like first match on. So I don't think, you know, it's not a marquee match for the French audience, so they're quite unlikely, I think, to put it on as a late match. It's going to be early in the day. I just think at 16 years old, this Andreeva's not going to be scared of anyone.
And why should she be, especially Coco? The word's out. I mean, all you have to do is watch. I mean, that's all. Just watch. You can see it for yourself. Every place she plays, same thing, same poem. Press conference. Activist. Push my hobby horse. Don't work on my forehand and get buried. Someone wrote into about last week's show and some comments I made about her coaching. They mentioned Patrick Mouratoglou and the fact that she's been there since she was 5. That was my point. For Craig Doyle, I'm Phil Nasis. Thanks for listening to This Week in Tennis.
This Week in Tennis.